Now, if you've bought a new car recently, especially an electric vehicle, there is a chance it did not come with a receiver for an AM radio signal. Automakers say the technology is becoming obsolete and that most people listen instead to FM, satellite radio, or online streaming. Some public safety officials have raised concerns about the need for AM radio in vehicles for emergency broadcast situations. A bipartisan group of lawmakers have now introduced a bill called the AM for Every Vehicle Act that would require car manufacturers to keep AM radio in their vehicles at no additional cost to the consumer. During a House committee hearing this morning, Democratic Representative Frank Pallone of New York noted the important role AM radio played in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy.
States as far west as Kentucky suffered power outages that lasted for days. Communications infrastructure was heavily damaged, including 25% of cellular towers across 10 states. Now, some of my constituents went days without power and telephone and internet connections, largely isolated and seeking whatever information they could get. A number of them relied on broadcast AM radio stations to get up-to-the-minute information, like where to get water, gas, and groceries. And in some cases, their best source for AM radio was their vehicle.
Facing pushback from some lawmakers, Ford recently reversed its plan to remove AM radio from vehicles, but at least seven other major automakers continue to move forward without AM. So what do you think? 1-800-642-1234. You may be hearing us now on the AM dial in Stevens Point or Madison. Would you miss it if it were gone? When's the last time you've gone across the AM dial to find out what's there? And what did you find? 1-800-642-1234. Could you go without the AM radio? You can also comment on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Our guest, Noah Arsenault, is a radio historian and a professor at San Diego State University's School of Journalism and Media Studies. Noah, welcome to Central Time.
Welcome, welcome. It's really good to be here. You know, I would say good afternoon, but when this thing goes online and people listen to it on different time zones, let's just say good whatever time of day it is where you are.
Yes. You recently wrote an opinion column for the San Diego Union Tribune about making the case against removing AM radio from cars. Tell us a little bit about your argument.
Before I get into that, I just want to, you know, give a little context. I went to a conference for the Radio Preservation Task Force. Yes, there is actually a Radio Preservation Task Force. A lot of people, including people from, you know, other countries as well. This group was started in 2014 by the National Recording Preservation Board in association with the Library of Congress. And it's to encourage study of radio by academics like me, the documentation of radio, where recordings exist, find out so people can share information. And anyway, I came out of that conference. I think I was actually in an Uber or a Lyft coming home from the airport. And I heard this guy on the radio talking about, oh, they're going to get rid of AM radio in cars. And I said, that's a bad idea. So I immediately was enthused and energized by the conference. It's so great to be around like-minded people, geeking out about radio for a few days. So I wrote that editorial. And basically, not everything that's new is better than what came before. And I think people of a certain age realize that. Just because something is new doesn't mean it's better. AM radio is incredibly old, you know, at least 100 years old, if not older, depending upon how you define broadcasting. But it works. It's very effective in the time of crisis. The AM signal doesn't sound as good as FM, which is why FM has music. But the signal can actually travel further, especially at night when it's bouncing off the atmosphere. And it's just a great way to bridge long distances, which are especially important in a time of crisis. And I think when these auto manufacturers were making this decision, they assume everyone, if you can afford a car, cars are very expensive. Well, then you must pay $20 a month for Spotify or whatever it costs. And who listens to AM radio anyway? And to me, that's just like perpetuating this digital divide to just assume that everybody of means, everybody who matters, can listen to online radio. Not everyone has a smartphone. Not everyone has Wi-Fi. AM radio is everywhere. I think according to Nielsen, the studies are about, you know, 2 years old, maybe a year old, some lag time. Radio is the most consumed form of media in the United States. Over 90% of the public hears it on a weekly basis. Tens of millions of people listen to it every week. It's not as sexy as the newest TikTok dance craze, but it's there and it's the good old reliable radio. So that's my argument in a nutshell, that we shouldn't just get rid of it.
Sure. Noah Arsenault, what do we lose if we lose the AM radio band?
I think that there could be a potential disaster where it is difficult, if not impossible, to reach people who need to be reached. There was a train accident in Minot, North Dakota. It's become the poster child of what happens when radio was overly commercialized, overly automated, and not responsive to local communities. There was a train crash. It's probably closer to Wisconsin, you know, a train crash in North Dakota. Some type of poison gas is released, like something out of a movie. The officials want to contact the local radio stations to say, hey, get out of town. There's this poison gas coming. And they couldn't contact anyone because everything was being remote controlled from other places. You know, like just the DJ stuff was canned, as they say. The music was automated from a computer. And I think if you lose AM, you're going to lose a lot of this sort of local flavor, the hometown touch, these small AM stations, which still exist. And I think it would be a shame if we, you know, got rid of it. It would be a continuing trend in the homogenization and commercialization of mass media, which few of us are in favor of.
That's an interesting point. Noah Arsenault, our guest, radio historian, professor at San Diego State University School of Journalism and Media Studies, and would be interested in knowing from you whether or not you'd miss the AM radio band if it were gone, or if you have a new car without AM radio in it, is it something that you find you probably can't do without or can do without? 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Join us up on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Part of the congressional hearing this morning included a statement from the FCC that found that AM stations are more likely than FM stations or other kinds of media outlets to be owned by women or people of color. And what does that say about the disconnect between what some car manufacturers are considering and the reach of what this AM band can do, Noah?
I think I didn't actually realize that. I suspected something might be the case, but in many communities, there are groups who do not speak English. There's more than Spanish language radio. I'm studying French language radio in Southern Louisiana. I'm actually in a conference room at LSU right now. And there's, you know, different immigrant communities, different communities from a diaspora. And oftentimes AM is a little bit less expensive. It could be a very small AM station reaching a very, very small local community. And I guarantee anybody who listens to something in their home tongue is going to miss that radio broadcast when it's gone. Because radio broadcasting in your language, if it's not the dominant language of a country, is just incredibly powerful.
Obviously, I'm a radio guy, and for me, it's always been finding a faraway classic country station on the AM band. And for some reason, for me, classic country just sounds better with the low fidelity of AM. But I can also...
I could see that. You know, certain music, we probably like similar kind of music, you know, the crackle and hiss and pop of the old vinyl. That's fine with me. I don't mind.
Exactly. Also going across the AM band, I find languages that I don't understand, but I understand that those are important connections to communities across the country that don't necessarily have English as their primary language.
I was driving from Northern California, like the Bay Area, down to San Diego, and I, because of what I study, you know, I'm putting on AM and I'm not picking up things. I'm kind of out in the desert, like above Bakersfield, and the dial's scanning, and then it comes upon a language. I wish I had recorded it, had something to record it. I'm thinking it was Cambodian or something. It was not Chinese. Somehow I could tell this is not Chinese, certainly not Spanish, wasn't French, German. And I guess there must be a small community, hyper small, but enough of them maybe working in a couple of factories or working in a few businesses that they could support a small radio station. And I regret not recording it, but you know, sometimes you just come across these fleeting, interesting moments in life.
Let's go to your calls and questions now about the future of AM radio at 1-800-642-1234, where Kay in Madison joins us. Kay, you're on the air with Noah Arsenault.
Thank you very much, and I agree with everything you're saying, and let me expand it. I'm somewhat communications trained as a result of the Coast Guard, and it's a bigger problem than this. When we went off analog, I can't remember what the other one is called, HM something or other. That was in June, as I remember, 2010, exactly at 8 p.m. when I was living in New York City on October 4th, 2010, I lost all five broadcast signals in New York City, and I never got them back. I talked to the director of broadcasting at the Empire State Building. He said, no, it didn't come from here. Years later, I found out it somehow it was a CB radio signal because October 4th is CB day, radio day. So it had to have been that. Somehow that just either stepped on my signal or blew off my signal. I'm not sure what.
Huh. That's very interesting. So you lost all your TV channels when it switched from analog?
Well, I didn't have cable because I was just recently retired, and I had just broadcast signal, which is also owned by the public. If you look at the legislation going back to 1928, all five TV stations in New York City at exactly 8 p.m. all went off the air.
Wow. Okay. I appreciate that. And one of the alternatives to AM has been the high definition radio or and satellite radio, but those are all something that would be a little bit more, you'd have to upgrade to get that, right, Noah?
Correct. I'm not high definition. I've been hearing a lot about, but I don't know the details. Satellite radio, I find fascinating. The government typically does not like when a monopoly controls a form of communication. That's tended to be, something to look down upon. With satellite radio, the FCC and other government regulators actually said it's okay that there's only one satellite radio company, because when there were two, they weren't profitable.
Right.
And the companies argued that if you don't allow us to merge, you'll have zero satellite radio. So in this case, I think the government said, well, we'll have a monopoly in satellite radio, otherwise we won't have satellite radio. And if people don't like the opinions and music on satellite radio, there's a wide range. You can find things elsewhere. But I just find that very peculiar that we don't like monopolies controlling the form of communication, but satellite radio, it's okay.
But you'd have to have a monthly subscription in order to hear it.
Oh, that's exactly right.
And there's no localization of it either. It's all a national broadcast. Noah Arsenault, our guest, radio historian and media studies professor at San Diego State University, looking at the role of AM radio in our communities and the threat it is under right now. And efforts underway in Congress to perhaps mandate it in every car radio without any extra cost to a consumer. Did you listen to AM radio from far away when you were growing up with your old transistor? Would you miss it if it were not in your car today? You can join our conversation with Noah at 1-800-642-1234. You can also post your ideas up on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue our conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're continuing our talk with Noah Arsenault. He's a radio historian and media studies professor at San Diego State University. With us today to discuss the role of AM radio, as you may be listening to it right now and in Stevens Point or in Madison, because automakers are grappling with whether to keep it included in new vehicles. What would you do? 1-800-642-1234. Would you miss it were it gone? Do you have some fond memories of listening to AM radio back in the day or perhaps right now? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Rana in Rice Lake. Rana, you're on the air with Noah Arsenault.
Hi. I'm really excited to tell you this. I don't know why. But when I was a kid growing up, we lived in a rural community. And WLS out of Chicago was the hottest, coolest, best radio station ever. But we could only get it on our AM radio at like 10:30 or 11 at night. So we always had to pretend like we were asleep and then get the radio out and try and find WLS. And we'd listen to it for as long as it would stay with us. So I am a AM radio fan, and I really hope it stays with us.
I appreciate the story, Rana. And Noah, it's funny that we talk about the power of localizing broadcasts with AM radio, but also overnights, as far as that signal can stretch. We get DXers from around the world who send us a letter to let us know that they heard us at this time, and this is what they heard. And they can do that from, just about anywhere on the globe at a certain time of night when the weather's right.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned DXing. That was a very, very old practice. But yeah, you're right. Radio or all forms of media can work in sometimes contradictory manners. Marshall McLuhan has some saying about that. I'm not going to try and quote him. I'll get it wrong and probably no one would know anyway. But radio could form communities. It can sort of bring people together. In their local community, but it can also connect communities over great geographic distances. I am really getting into Cajun music and Cajun radio. That's what I refer to as radio stations that broadcast in Louisiana French. And I can pick up those stations, some of those stations online from California. With a two-hour time zone difference, if I get up real early in the morning, real early in California, I can pick up KVPI. They do the French news at 7:30 each day. So that kind of makes me feel a little connected to Louisiana from a great distance. Radio can work both ways. It can sort of concentrate a community, but also form a community over a great geographic distance.
Well, one of the things I think of with the AM radio band is the rise of talk radio and how after the Telecommunications Act of, I think it was 1996, the consolidation of media and the rise of the likes of Rush Limbaugh and how it created not just an industry, but a kind of a political movement. And it was a way to connect people across the country from local radio stations.
It was the combination, not to cut you off, but it was the combination of the Telecommunications Act, I think it was 98, but also the decline of the fairness doctrine, which, kind of was a gradual decline, but that doesn't exist anymore. And also the growth of portable phones, mobile phones. So now you have talk radio. The music has shifted to FM. They can air political opinions. They no longer have an obligation to even pretend to air the other side. They can be as lopsided as they want. And you have people driving home in the commute who can now call in and talk. So the explosion of talk radio is really quite fascinating. Even though I may not agree with a lot of it, I listen to a lot of different AM talk radio just to hear what's out there. That has been quite, I don't think you can understand politics of the last 20 years if you don't understand talk radio.
Yeah, and specifically what you've heard on the AM band, because that's where radio groups, as they gathered, would generally put their talk radio stations if they had the bandwidth. I'm fascinated with it, and our guest, Noah Arsenault, radio historian and media studies professor at San Diego State University. We're taking a look at some of the car manufacturers who have considered pulling back on the AM receivers in their cars. And there was the hearing earlier today about whether or not the Congress should consider passing the AM for Every Vehicle Act. Be interested in knowing what you think before we're done this afternoon at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Peter in Stoughton next. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hi there. To follow up on what you just said, I read that some executive at Ford decided that no, they are not going to eliminate AM on their radios. Whereas a week ago, there was an uproar because they were among the manufacturers that were considering doing that. The reason I called was I grew up in a small city in upstate New York, and we had pretty good local radio stations, but I was also able to, for instance, pick up stations in Chicago. And I remember one night I heard something skipping up from Arizona. But in general, the formats were a lot more varied, that they weren't categorized like radio stations are now. And so you heard a much wider variety of music on any given station. And so I could hear what was going on in Chicago, and I could hear what was going on in Corning, three blocks from my home. So,
Peter, I appreciate the experience. And, yeah, the playlist has become sort of standard across the country, Noah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I will admit the format. But you can occasionally find little pockets of cool, interesting stuff. I do have, I know we're coming up to the end here. I do have some thoughts about this mandating radio in every vehicle, though.
Yeah.
You would think I'd be 100%, yeah, let's do it. I'm generally in favor of it. But when I heard that, I was like, something might be, went, huh, wait a minute. Because it makes me think of what's happened in some other countries in colonial India before the British left. They were bringing radios to the villagers to try and, quote unquote, modernize them, teach them the way they should be living, like good British subjects. They would put a radio in that you couldn't even change the dial, and it was sort of blasting or broadcasting whatever the British wanted. And Russia did the same thing in factories. They had, it was actually wired radio. I don't think the radio worked, so the factory speakers are connected by wire, but it's the same kind of thing. You couldn't change what was on it. So the mandating the form of media just made me think, wait a minute, that's maybe not encouraging more freedom. That could be some weird way of totalitarian control, but that's a Philip K. Dick conspiracy. I'm generally in favor of AM radio.
Rather Orwellian of you, Noah.
So, yes.
But take us into the future as you see it as a radio historian. What do you think it looks like for AM radio, satellite radio?
I do not think new forms of media replace the previous forms of media. They just make an ever more crowded media landscape. We still have traditional analog television. We have cable television. We have streaming. You can watch video on your phone. We have AM radio, FM radio, HD, satellite, podcasting. Podcasting and streaming, to me, is the newest evolution in radio. So I think we're just going to have more and more, which is great because this means more variety, but it also can be kind of overwhelming when you have so many options. But I think we're just going to see more and more options. We're not going to see fewer options.
And from here, Noah, we take you and put you up on our website and make you a podcast, from radio to a podcast at WPR.org. I want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, or whatever time it is when people are listening.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Noah Arsenault is a radio historian and a professor at San Diego State University School of Journalism and Media Studies. He was with us today to discuss the importance of AM radio signals and a bipartisan effort that is underway to keep them as part of new vehicle manufacturing. We'll see how that turns out. And you can still comment on this on our Facebook page. The Ideas Network Facebook page is available to you, or email us anytime, ideas at WPR.org.